Our top story today is about Billy Caldwell. Billy is a young boy. Last year, he became the first person to receive an NHS prescription for medical marijuana in the UK. It was a Northern Irish doctor who wrote that prescription. Billy's mother, Charlotte, says the cannabis oil virtually stopped her son having up to 100 seizures a day. Now, cannabis oil is not tested or approved to be used in the UK for Billy's condition. Therefore, the Department of Health in Northern Ireland advised the doctor who had been writing the prescription in Northern Ireland to stop doing so. So, what then? Where does that leave Billy? His mother says she thinks he's now going to die. And she is pleading with the authorities here in this country to let her son get the cannabis oil. I have been speaking to Charlotte, and she began by telling me how Billy has been.
Well, sadly for us, Stephen, Billy had a seizure last night, the night before, at 1:01 a.m. in the morning. It's very unlike him, you know, the medicinal cannabis that he has been had access to this last 19 months, had been doing an amazing, incredible job at controlling his seizures. The only time that Billy has had a seizure in the last 19 months is if he was sick. And the last one, numerous months ago, when he had a chest infection. So this sort of has thrown me a wee bit. I am sort of just... medicinal cannabis for Billy, Stephen, was his anti-epileptic medication. That's what he is receiving the medicinal cannabis for.
And when he took the seizure, what does it look like? What actually happens to his body? Can you describe it to us?
Yeah, well, we were sleeping, as it was just, it was 1:01 a.m. in the morning. He, Billy sleeps beside me, Stephen, because since he had the diagnosis of being an epileptic, I always have the fear that I'm very aware from what doctors have advised me that he's at high risk of SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death and epilepsy. And Billy presents his seizures at night only. He lies face down in the bed. So I sleep with him either on my arm around him or his leg over the top of my leg. So if he goes into a seizure, I can feel him straight away. You know, when I'm up, the light on, and I'm straight for his rescue med. But Billy just silently, all his breathing goes really shallow, from like you know, a rhythmic breathing. You know that he's sleeping. You understand me? He just stops. The breathing just stops. It goes really, really shallow to the degree where you'd think he wasn't breathing.
And is that what happened in this seizure?
Yeah.
He stopped breathing?
Yes, and then he will, slowly his head will lift up the pillow or off the mattress, because I don't use a pillow with him simply because of the form of epilepsy he has. His head will lift gently up off the mattress, real silent. I actually call him the silent killer. Because you wouldn't hear it unless you actually were really alert, Stephen. You understand my, bearing in mind, you know, I'm normally sleeping beside him. But so he just lifts his head real gently off the mattress, and his eyes are open and staring, and he's just nodding his head gently. And then he will gently turn around. It's not like a... normally people think of seizures that people go into an aggressive convulsion, you know. But Billy then just moves gently round in the bed and lifts one leg. He lies on his side and lifts one leg up. That's the way his seizure is. And then sometimes he goes really, really blue. And then sometimes he goes like bright red, like a tomato, and gets a rash all over him.
And this is the first seizure in how long?
Oh, God, it's months, Stephen. Now, the last one that Billy had was when he had a chest infection. Months, absolute months, must be.
And so if we boil this story down, and I know it's a complicated story and we'll walk through some of it, but what you're saying is that the medicinal nature of the cannabis,
yes,
is what stops Billy having seizures, the cannabis,
yes,
oil.
Yes. Yes, it's been prescribed as an anti-epileptic medication, and that's what it's used for in Billy's case.
And when it stopped, because you've run out of it now?
No, I got it confiscated at the airport.
Yeah, well, you were coming to run out of it. You went to get more, and then it's been confiscated at the airport.
Yeah.
And so not being able to give that to your son meant that he didn't have it, and now the seizures are back. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they are. Billy's history of his epilepsy is they normally start with 1, 2, 3 small ones, and then the next thing he goes into status. And status epilepticus is where he can't stop the seizure on his own, so it's 999 to the nearest emergency room, and then the doctors normally start working on him then. And those seizures can last up like anything up to 7.5 hours. And I also would like to point out every single seizure that Billy has, this is, you know, advice that I've had from 2 world-renowned, world-ranking epileptologists, which was one Professor Nordley in the States and the doctor that I Billy consulted with in Canada last week, that every single seizure that Billy has is causing brain damage to his brain. So we're in a situation where we have a Home Office minister who has executed a plan and stopped abruptly Billy's anti-epileptic medication. There is no medical doctor in the world, Stephen, that would stop an anti-epileptic medication abruptly, because the danger of that in itself means that the seizures are going to escalate and going to return without a doubt, simply because he has not been weaned off the medication. And this is my fear, that Nick Hurd has taken a decision. It's not a medical decision, but he's pushing Billy into a crisis situation.
You've met him, haven't you?
Yeah, I had 2 different meetings with him, not yesterday, the day before.
And what did he say to you?
He started to rhyme off to me old laws and policies that are in our country from 1971 are absolutely irrelevant to where we are now in 2018. Medicinal cannabis has been prescribed to Billy as an anti-epileptic medication. That's it, Stephen. I'm not giving it to him rolled up in a joint to get high, or it's a little bottle of medicine. Neither myself or my family have absolutely nothing to do with recreational use. We don't advocate it.
What did he say back?
He was just like, no. I asked him a direct question. I said, please. I said, I'm begging you, give Billy back his anti-epileptic medication. Work with me on this. I'm willing to work with you. I said, I will do absolutely anything. Just give my little boy back his anti-epileptic medication.
And what did he say?
He said no.
And did you tell him you believe your son's life is under threat?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what did he say?
He said no. He started quoting to me old laws and old policies that really I was, you know, totally taken aback, because this is about Billy, Stephen. This is about a little boy's life, that this little boy could easily pass away with me at any time because of the seriousness of his condition.
It's also, though, about Charlotte, authorities being able to control substances, and there cannot be a free-for-all, because sometimes substances causes harm, and there needs to be testing, and there needs to be a licensing of medication.
Of course.
And when we contacted the Department of Health about this, they said there is no, I'm reading what they've said, they say, quote, there is no evidence of a health service prescription for any unlicensed cannabis-containing product ever being dispensed in Northern Ireland. And they say licensed cannabis-related medicines may be prescribed for defined medical conditions. It is unlawful, they say, to prescribe, possess, supply, produce, import or export any other cannabis product containing THC for medicinal purposes except under a controlled drug license?
Well, Stephen, you know something. When Billy's GP was writing the prescription, the HPRA, the Home Office and the Northern Ireland Health Department were CC'd into the emails and no one objected. That's the first thing. The second thing is I travelled all round the UK and Ireland and now through airports and to Westminster, several meetings with MPs in Westminster when I was campaigning for all the other children as well, with Billy's medication in my handbag and Billy with my... absolutely no. Nobody stopped us, nobody arrested me, nobody took anything off me, apprehended me in any way. And it was very public. As you know, Stephen, I've always been open, honest and transparent. It was very public in the media, Billy's story, and nobody, absolutely nobody from the Home Office had contacted me to say that I was doing anything illegally and that Billy's prescription was going to be stopped. What I would say as well is, we have people in our country, unfortunately, Stephen, that do sometimes get addicted to, for example, heroin. There is no doctor in this country, even with someone who is addicted to heroin, actually stops the heroin abruptly. They are weaned off it. And they are weaned off it slowly. So we have opiates, quite blatantly, being prescribed in our country by medical doctors. Medicinal cannabis for Billy is prescribed as an anti-epileptic medication. That's it. If Nick Hurd had any compassion within him, Stephen, he would be giving back this little boy his life-saving medication and sitting down and telling me what I have to do or working with me. But don't just stop his life-saving medication.
Have you tried to go through the proper process, though? Have you tried to get this license?
We had never been
controlled
told.
Drug license.
We had never been told, Stephen, that we had to get a controlled drug license.
But you know now.
Yeah, well, now when
so
we
are you going to try to get one now?
That's the plan. But when we went to the meeting with Nick Hurd, we asked him, "What do we do here now? Because we need to get this urgently addressed." This, and Nick Hurd, first of all, proceeded to tell me that the cost of a licence, first of all, was £10,000. Then he changed it to £20,000.
What's £10,000 charge for? What's that for?
It's a licence, some sort of licence. There's two licences, he said, that I had to get. First it was £10,000, then it was £20,000. Then he said, when I went into the second meeting, then he come back to us and he said that the Northern Ireland, because I live in Northern Ireland, you only pay £24. So the whole thing is very confusing to me. Then when we contacted the Northern Ireland Health Department, they said it's a Home Office matter. Then Nick Hurd, in the second meeting, said this is a Northern Ireland Health Department matter. So it's very confusing, Stephen, as to do we need a licence? Is my first question, because considering I have used, Billy has had access to this medication for over a year. Nothing's been said. And the second thing is, how much is it £20,000 for the licence? I don't have that sort of money. I don't think there's many families in this country would have that sort of money. Do I go to the Northern Ireland Health Department to get this licence, or do I go to the Home Office? Because we are still at a loss, Stephen. We've had no definite... When I was in the meeting, I asked Nick Hurd. He had three lawyers there, and there were civil servants, five or six people in the meeting, including myself, and nobody knew. I said, can you please give me now an outline or write down for me what I need to do here? They can't do it. They haven't got it. And then I also asked them, how long is this process? Will it take? I said, you know, because we need to get it started now. And it's 4.5 to 5 months, Stephen. Billy doesn't have 4.5 to 5 months.
Can I read some of the statement that the Department of Health have sent us? Mm-hmm. They've said there has been recent media coverage in relation to patients seeking access to medicinal cannabis. Well, that's you they're talking about, okay? There's been recent media coverage. That's you and your son. Your son's name is Billy, so that's who they're talking about, okay? It is important to distinguish, they say, between different active ingredients in cannabis.
Uh-huh.
Two of these are called THC. I can't pronounce the whole proper name of it. And CBD. I can't pronounce that either. CBD. Products containing THC are subject to the highest level of control under UK medicines legislation. Licensed cannabis-related medicines may be prescribed for defined medical conditions. It's unlawful to prescribe, possess, supply, produce, import, or export any other cannabis product containing THC for medicinal purposes, except under a controlled drug license. There's no evidence, say the Department of Health, of a health service prescription for any unlicensed cannabis-containing product ever being dispensed in Northern Ireland. And then they say, an application for a CD license to use a THC-containing product for medicinal purposes would only be considered for use in a bona fide research or a clinical trial with appropriate clinical support. No such applications have been received by the department. No licenses have therefore been granted by the department. So,
Stephen, can I just say the product that they have confiscated at the airport was that product which was prescribed by a world-ranking neurologist in Canada. That product is actually being used, as we speak, in clinical trials that are being done in Canada. I actually furnished the customs offices at Heathrow and Nick Hurd with the clinical data from the clinical trials to support the product. I also furnished Nick Hurd with the ingredients that's in the bottle. The doctor in Canada is willing to speak with Nick Hurd. The doctor in Canada stated to me she had prescribed Billy a 6-month supply, which was 7 small bottles of CBD with THC. If anybody, any individual was to drink those 7 bottles all at once, they would not get high. They'd probably vomit, they'd probably get sick, but they wouldn't get high. And she reassured me that. Now, Monday morning, the Northern Ireland Health Department, we thought, right, okay, we will also furnish them, because we don't know which department we're to deal with, Stephen, because nobody is telling us. We've asked, where does this have to be done? We have furnished the Northern Ireland Health Department also with the analysis, the lab reports on the actual medication and the clinical data.
And they've acknowledged in their statement to us that there are a number of research and clinical trials. They say that the World Health Organization's Expert Committee on Drug Dependence is also carrying out a pre-review of both the harms and therapeutic value of all the constituent parts of cannabis. And they say the Department of Health will consider the outcome of this work. Essentially what they're saying is they've got to comply, Charlotte, with the law and with best clinical practice.
That is as it may be, Stephen, and I agree with them 100%. But what I'm saying is we are now sitting here in an urgent situation with my little boy.
I get that.
He needs his medicine back. Look, I have said I will work with him. I will do whatever I can. But Billy, we don't have £10,000 or £20,000 to hand over to the Home Office, Stephen. We haven't got that kind of money. In the first instance, the second instance, Billy does not have 4.5 or 5 months to wait while they decide, while the Home Office or the Northern Ireland Health Department decide, in the first instance, that an application would be accepted. And in the second instance, who do we go to, Stephen? Where do we apply for this? Because we have no idea. We've asked.
Well, I think what we can flush out, you know, we can't get involved in what the right or wrong thing to do is here, because that's, you know, that's not our mandate. It's not what we do. What we can do on your behalf, though, I think it is absolutely unacceptable if you're a mother trying to look after your child and if you're getting the runaround, if the Department of Health is telling you it's a matter for the Home Office and the Home Office is telling you it's a matter for the Department of Health,
that
you're saying that's what's happening.
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
Just excruciatingly frustrating for you, undoubtedly. So we will try to flush that out on your behalf.
Okay. The other thing is that, Stephen, can I just say, Billy has had his medicine for over 1 year and 1 month. If I was doing anything illegally, why didn't they pick up the phone to me? Why didn't somebody just come to me and say, look, listen, Charlotte, this is wrong or whatever that you are doing. We need to do this. Do you understand me? I am just saying here, look, what has happened here to Billy is there is no doctor in the world, Stephen, would stop an anti-epileptic medication abruptly on a child. because they know the consequences. There's no medical practitioner or clinician. Ring any of them and ask them, Stephen, and they will tell you that this is absolutely horrific. It's cruel. It's callous what has been done to Billy.
What's next for your son?
I'm desperately trying to get Billy a consultation with an expert in a paediatric expert in epilepsy. That's what I'm doing because I want for his advice because I don't know what else to do. I'm sure you can understand that, Stephen. I do not want to push my son into a situation where he passes away because this is what's going to happen. His medicine is sitting at London Heathrow Airport. I have told Nick Hord we will work with him. Even should it be they store it at the Home Office, I can stay in London. I can come to the Home Office and give him a dose 3 times a day. I can come back and forward to the Home Office. I don't care. I said he just needs access to that medicine.
You believe you're fighting for your son's life, don't you?
He'll die, Stephen. They know it. They know the form of epilepsy that Billy has. Well, I don't mean to get upset, Stephen, but I think it's absolutely cruel what they're doing. I'm just exhausted, Stephen, and Billy's exhausted as well. It's just unfair.
And do you really think your son might die in this situation? You're up against time, are you?
It's the form of epilepsy that he has, Stephen. That's the danger. He's status epileptic.
And you're exhausted?
Yeah. But Billy is as well. It's really unfair. I have to fight for him, Stephen, and I have to keep him alive because he deserves it. He's just a vulnerable, little, sweet, beautiful boy that he doesn't deserve this. His medicine is working for him. The anti-epileptic medication is working for him. He needs it back.
Does he have any concept of what's going on?
He knows he's not at home. I think everybody is aware that the amount of seizures that Billy's had in his lifetime and the amount of pharmaceuticals that he's had, you know, cocktails of pharmaceuticals that haven't worked, Billy's had severe side effects. He's got brain damage. But he has severe developmental delay. But he knows he's not at home in his own wee house and with his toys and his garden and all this sensory stuff. He's a massive sensory garden and his hens. And so he is aware that there's something not right, if you know what I mean. I don't mean to get upset, you know, but it's just...
I think everybody can understand why a mother would get upset if their son's in, you know, if their life's in danger. My goodness, Charlotte, you know.
I'm fighting as hard as I can, Stephen, to keep him alive, and that's just basically what I'm doing. But sometimes I don't want to. I think my way of dealing with it sometimes is just to keep fighting and not think what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Do you feel alone? Do you feel lonely?
No, I just want them to listen. I just feel that they're not listening. You know, Billy's medication is prescribed by a medical doctor, one of the top doctors in Canada. She is an amazing lady. They're doing clinical trials on kids with epilepsy with this particular product. It's very successful, Stephen. The kids are getting relief. It's amazing. You know, these children, Stephen, are just like Billy, you know. Epilepsy is a brutal condition that has broken their little bodies, it's broken their little minds.
How old is Billy?
He's 12.
How regular do you feel without medication the epileptic fits will be?
Well, Billy's history is that they just batter his little body with a vengeance. It's just like, you know, an everyday occurrence where he gets no let up. And then to stop them, I have to administer a rescue med. So the rescue med then also, yes, it stops the seizure. But the effects of the rescue med then leave Billy completely depleted where, you know, for probably 24, 36 hours where he can't eat.
Yeah.
He can, you know, just sup a drink. He's lying with his blanket.
Charlotte, I hope this isn't a stupid question. Why would the Department of Health here in Northern Ireland, if you're saying your son's life is in danger, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if this is a stupid question, but if your son's life is in danger, why would the Department of Health in Northern Ireland not take your son into hospital and then administer whatever is necessary to keep your son safe in hospital?
Well, Stephen, I think, first of all, a hospital environment is not somewhere Billy wants or needs to be.
Yep.
Simply because epilepsy, any mum that you talk to with children with epilepsy, they do most of their nursing at home. We become nurses, we become educated in a way that no other mummy that has a normal child has to be. We become experts in our children, we become experts in their condition. We know and we learn more about the condition than a lot of the medical professionals, because we have to, because we're dealing with it 24/7. And a hospital environment for Billy would not be the environment that he should be in. I have the rescue med, I have the oxygen to deal with his condition at home. I don't want him either filled full of pharmaceuticals that are going to have detrimental effects on his wee body and his wee mind. He doesn't need any more damage to his body, Stephen. He needs his medicine back. He needs his anti-epileptic medicine back that was prescribed for him in Canada. It's natural. There's nothing in it. There's no side effects from it that's going to harm him. You know, there's no chemicals, there's no pesticides, there's nothing. I can send you the reports on it, Stephen, and your team could look at them, send them to experts and get their opinion. It's a natural medication.
How long are you going to be able to keep fighting? This is a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I'll never give up on Billy. No matter if I was crawling, Stephen, on my hands and knees, I'll never give up on him. Never.
Are you getting any sleep?
Very little. But look, that's part of the part and parcel of being a mum to an epileptic child as well. I've lived like this for 12 years, and there's another 240 kids in Northern Ireland. And there's another 240 mummies, there's another 240 daddies that are living the same life as me, Stephen. So look, I'm nothing special, I'm nothing unique.
You live in Northern Ireland, don't you? Your home is in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Billy lives in Northern Ireland, doesn't
he? Yes, yeah.
So the Home Secretary, who lives in England, has met you twice now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Has any senior official in the Department of Health met you?
No.
So no one.
I think Richard Pengally has agreed to have a cross-party meeting with the five political parties that are supporting us in Northern Ireland.
All right. So he's agreed to meet the political parties.
Yeah.
Has anybody reached out to you?
No. No.
So no one within the Health Service of Northern Ireland. An English minister has, and no one in the Health Service of Northern Ireland has reached out and said, let's sit down and talk.
No, I've heard from nobody. I sent Richard Pengally the analysis of Billy's medicine, and I sent him the clinical data from the clinical trials in Canada that's going on with these kids.
Well, I would like to ask a question publicly. You know, for all of you in your senior positions in Northern Ireland. No matter what which opinion you take on this issue, why have none of you reached out to this mother? I remember quite an iconic case for our programme that we did many years ago when there was a lady called Jean Faulkner, and Jean was a very, very old woman, and a government policy was likely to move her out of her care home. And they had consulted and talked to everybody but her. And I went down and I spoke to her. And we broadcast it. And that government policy proposal was stopped in its tracks because she was listened to.
Yeah.
The question that I'm asking, and I'm making this publicly this morning in terms of let's get your reaction as you listen to this radio programme today, 03030 80 55 55. So no one within the health service has reached out to this mother.
No.
And meanwhile, she's in England speaking to an English minister. Is it? Is that the way we do things? Look, I don't know what the rights or wrongs of this case are. As I said to you, that you know, I also do see the point of view from those who say that you know there needs to be controls and tests and reviews. But my goodness, we are going to get on to this, what you've suggested is happening to you, that you're getting the runaround. You know, you're currently crying on the radio and you're telling me that you're being passed from one to the other. Well, we will ask very stern questions on your behalf about that for a start.
Okay. But in the meantime, Stephen, I'm still desperately trying to keep Billy safe and get him his anti-epileptic medication back. He needs that medication. That's what has to happen here. So I can protect, first and foremost, the priority is to protect him and keep him alive. And then we can put whatever process they need me to go through. Certainly, we're open to doing it.
What is the advice from the health service here in Northern Ireland as to how to keep your son safe? Like, what are they saying? Forget for one second what you're saying. What are they saying you should do with your son?
I haven't heard from them.
You are kidding me.
No, I haven't heard nothing, absolutely nothing from them.
Well, I would just say, as we conclude this interview this morning, I would just say to the people at the top, the senior people, who can at least make a meeting with you happen. I would say to them this morning, do you really think this lady, this crying mother you're hearing on the radio this morning, does not deserve at least a sit down with any of you? I'm sorry that this has upset you, this interview, Charlotte. I think the people in Northern Ireland often, through this programme, can be very strong in their views. So let's see what they say about this today.
Okay.
And we're going to contact the Department of Health right now on your behalf.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to ask them, is no one actually prepared to communicate with you?
Okay.
Okay? Stay safe and stay strong, and we're thinking about you and Billy.
Okay, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Well, there are some of you, I just look at the computer screen here, and, you know, there's a man in Derry saying he's in tears listening to this. 03030 80 55 55. We recorded that yesterday, and we have been in constant touch with the Department of Health since that interview yesterday. And, you know, there's been a development, and the development is that the Department of Health have now indicated to the Nolan Show that they will now meet Charlotte Caldwell with a view to advising her on how she might make an application for a clinical trial. So that is a breaking story, It will be significant to Charlotte because she says she hasn't had any help or any contact, and the Department of Health indicating that they will now meet her. Doesn't mean that she will be successful with the application, but my goodness, at least they're now prepared to meet her or reach out to her or have contact with her. Richard and Dundonald, huge reaction to this morning. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm sitting here this morning, Stephen, this past half hour, and I'm sitting nearly in tears listening to Mrs. Caldwell there and a wee son, Billy. And I'm telling you something. You see if the MPs who get on this show and your show and turn around and say they're working for their constituents. I know the health service is a lot of the answer for, but the MPs in this country should be at that woman's door grabbing it and helping her, because it's a disgrace. She's being tortured, and the wee child, Billy himself, has gone through hell. And I think to myself, if it was somewhere, you get heroin addicts who can go to their doctor and prescribe methadone and stuff to wean them off heroin, and this child is suffering day in and day out. It's not as if this has happened. This has been going on for weeks now, because I've been reading about it in the Telegraph.
Let me read to you, because the statement that was contained within the interview that you've just heard,
yes,
was what we in the BBC had up until, you know, yesterday. We have a new statement from the Department of Health.
Yes.
So they say, and let me just read through this with you, Richard. They say the department has been in repeated contact with the Home Office to explore possible ways forward in respect of patients seeking access to cannabis-related medicines. They say our officials are naturally keen to be sensitive and understanding towards parents campaigning on this issue. Well, let's just even interpret those first two lines. So the Department of Health in Northern Ireland have been in repeated contact with the Home Office, but when we asked them if they'd ever been in contact with the mother, you know, the person who's actually in this story, that's living it in Northern Ireland, they ducked the question. They continue in their statement, clearly the department has to comply with the law and advise colleagues in health and social care to do likewise. Yeah. So what we in the Knowledge Show did was we said to them, does the department have the power, never mind advise, do you have the power to instruct a doctor to cease issuing a prescription? Or can the department only act in an advisory matter? Department didn't answer whether they had the power to instruct. They continue in their statement, that would include advising any doctors that prescriptions cannot be written for defined cannabis-containing products without a government licence. And so I think that's, if we're being fair to all sides here, I think, Richard, that's a fair point. You know, how can the Department of Health tell a doctor to do anything but stop writing a prescription for something that's illegal? Now, this next point is really interesting. They say in their statement, we would repeat that there is no record of a health service prescription for any unlicensed cannabis-containing product ever being dispensed in Northern Ireland. So I think a question is, if the prescription was written, the Department of Health are indicating here it was never cashed in. So where was Billy's mother getting the cannabis oil from? So I think that's a relevant question. And the Department of Health would therefore say, if she was never using the prescriptions, therefore they haven't stopped the supply of it. But some might think that's a distraction. The Department of Health have issued advice to a doctor to stop writing prescriptions for this cannabis oil. But the doctor in writing the prescription has clearly, Richard, endorsed his belief that the cannabis oil would help his patient.
Yes.
It's a clear endorsement. So there's a doctor in Northern Ireland clearly saying, this is in the best interest of my patient. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written the prescription.
That's correct, Stephen.
And there are a number, just so that you all know, there are a number of questions which the Department of Health have simply ducked. Okay? And I want you all to know the questions that they have been given by me and that they have ducked. And I want you all to have a think of whether you feel these questions are in the public interest to be answered. I asked, what contingency planning did the Department of Health put in place to advise on the physical welfare of this boy who found or is likely to find himself going cold turkey? In other words, he's on this and then comes off it. Have they any contingency planning? Duck the question. I asked the Department of Health, was any plan of action put in place to advise or help the mother after the department issued this advice to her GP to stop writing the prescriptions? It's a pretty obvious question, that. Any plan of action to protect this little boy? They completely ducked answering the question. I asked the Department of Health, do they have confidence in the GP who issued the prescription? They ducked the question. And then you heard in that interview the distress from the mother of her saying that she felt that she was being given the runaround, that the Department of Health were passing her to the Home Office were passing her to the Department of Health. And therefore, I asked the question to our health service in Northern Ireland. I said, is the Department of Health prepared to issue a joint statement with the Home Office, clearly citing who is taking responsibility for each aspect of this case? They ducked it. Richard?
Stephen, I know you've been through a lot there in this past couple of minutes there. But what I'm going to say to you is this. If the law needs changed, the law would have to be changed. I know there's all these legal complications and all the rest of it, but you heard the lady saying if you took the 7 bottles of the stuff, you wouldn't even get high.
Well, now, hold on a minute. I don't know if that is true, and we need to be very careful, don't we? She's a mom and it's emotional, so we can't. We need to let experts tell us the effect of that, and she's not a medical professional.
She was quoting the doctor in Canada. That's all I'm saying.